Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
to be able to come back across these skyways and airways once again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that all is well in your family circle. I hope and pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. Hallelujah. I just thank those of you that continually to make the old ship of Zion a part of your listening program. Hallelujah. I just thank you for allowing me into your workspace. Thank you for allowing me into your living room area. Then I want to thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the old ship of Zion on your podcast dial. Hallelujah. And I tell you, I just thank God for this opportunity to come again. Hallelujah. Congregate. And uniting around the world, hallelujah, as disciples of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. And I just want to just take this podium, I want to take this stage, and I want to send condolences out to those of you that have lost loved ones, may it be in the last 72 hours, last 48 hours, 24 hours, 8 hours, 4 hours, an hour ago, 30 minutes ago, even moments ago. And we want you to know that you are not alone in your hour of bereavement. We want you to know that you have prayer warriors that's praying tirelessly around the world, praying with you and for you, that God will restore your joy and restoration unto your heart and soul. So I want you just to be encouraged and know that you're not alone. And when there was a time that you saw only two set of footprints, that is when Jesus carried you spiritually, because we know Jesus is a spirit. And the Bible says that those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So right now, I want to invite you all of my friends, my guests, my colleagues, my kingdom family, my kinship family, and all of you that are listening live, hallelujah, on this morning. And I want you to know that this is a live church service. It's just like you would get in your automobile and drive to your designated church building. This is a church without walls. So you can come. You don't have to dress up in your three-piece or your two-piece, but you can just come and sit, hallelujah, at your designated spot. Wherever your computer finds you, then you can tune in to the old ship of Zion. Bring all your digital devices. Bring your chip, your dip, and whatever you want to sip. And allow me to minister the divine word of God unto you on this morning. But before we do that, we're going to go into our opening prayer. And I'm asking those of you to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer. And I want to present our soon coming Messiah to some and introduce to others. He is a native, hallelujah. He's a native of Nazareth, yet he was born in Bethlehem. And he will come again in all of his glory, all his power, and he will come for his bridegroom, and that is the church. Hallelujah. But before he come, we're going to continue in his will and in his way, moving upward and onward. Hallelujah. Keeping our hand held firmly to the plow and dare not to look back. Because God says that anyone with the hand on the plow and looking back, hallelujah, is not even fit for the kingdom of God. So we want to keep our hand held to the plow, but we're going to keep looking onward and upward and allowing God to carry us higher, higher, and deeper depths in Him. Hallelujah. So, Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us together in unity, God, once again around the spectrum. Father God, for we know that this earthly soil that we're treading on is not our eternal destination, but we know that you have a mansion that's not built by mortal man, but you are the craftsman, you are the creator, you are the architect. And God, until you crack those clouds, one historical day, we'll continue to mount up from the four corners of this earth, God, starting from the north, south, east, and west, coming together as pilgrims traveling through this barren land. I'm asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay, able me to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their sins. Grace me, God, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and every individual that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. And Father God, we won't take your praise and we won't take your glory, but we'll give you all the glory and honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty marvelous name. And let the temple assembly of God say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And so I'm scheduled to be with you 1 hour. We got 52 minutes remaining. And so we're going to take you right now live into a church service that's already in progression. And if you have any prayer requests that you would want the Eldership of Zion to go down in prayer and believe God, hallelujah, in a petition that you want to place at the foot of God, then you're welcome to call in, and I will prompt you when to call in to the studio dial-up prayer request line. If you have any testimony of miracles that God has performed in your life, you want to share it with the world, then you are welcome to call in and share your testimony with us. So right now, without any further ado, we're going to take you on into a live program already in progression. All right, our sermon on this morning entitled, We Are Limited Power. We are limited power. God is limitless. We'll say that one more time. A sermon on this morning entitled, We Are Limited Power. God is limitless. And we're going to read our first key scripture, and it reads like this. Therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Exodus 4 and 12. All right, we're going to move on to our second key scripture, and it reads this. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Exodus 3 and 7. All right, we're going to move on to our third key scripture, and it reads this. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalms 112 and 4. All right, we're going to go down now at our fourth key scripture, and it reads this. Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 11 and 28. And our final key scripture, and it is the fifth key scripture for this morning, and it reads this. Maybe that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing. 2 Samuel 16 and 12. So we're talking about We are limited power, but we know that God is limitless. You know, God says he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. God even said that the earth is his footstool. So we know that God owns Dow Jones. God owns the stock market. God owns each financial institute. God owns all the banks. God owns all the gold bars. God owns the bank vault. God owns everything. He even owns you and I. Because the Bible tells me that you and I and us are bought with a price. Hallelujah. So we find out that Moses, on the occasion of his call by God, he made excuses. He said, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Exodus 4 and 10. We know that the wording suggests that Moses had a speech impediment. Perhaps he stuttered, but the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who has made the mute, the deaf, the seeing of the blind? Have not I the Lord?" So we know that our impairment and our disabilities, our handicaps, are not accidents. They are God designed. He uses every one of our flaws for his own glory. God's way of dealing with what we call limitations. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. It is not to remove them, but to endow them with strength and use them for good. We find out in the New Testament, Paul the Apostle referred to an unspecified thorn in the flesh that he repeatedly asked the Lord to take from him in the law of 2 Corinthians 12 and 7 through 8. But God says that my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul even learned to take pleasure in the troubles. Most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, "For when I am weak, I am strong." And we know that God is faithful. All faithful saints who walk with God through weaknesses learn to trust his word. And we are not immune to pain or tears. Hallelujah. So when God's strength is best seen in yours and mine and our weaknesses, you know, we can ask for things and God will grant us some of our wishes, some of our desires, but God promised to supply all of yours and mine's needs according to his riches and glory. But we know that we are limitless because it's just some things that we cannot do, that it takes God. We takes God omnipotent power. Hallelujah. To carry us through the tsunami, the hurricane, the thunderstorms, the tornadoes, hallelujah, of this life that we're traveling through. Hallelujah. And so God tell you and I, and us, he said, "I've surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt." And God tell you and I, and us, said, "I've heard your cry." God hears yours and mine and our cry. God cares about us. God turned a deaf ear to no one. But God listened to all prayers and all cries and moans and groans. And even when we can't say anything, God is a mind reader. God is a heart regulator. God is a mind fixer. So we know, with that being said, that is nothing that is impossible with God. We are limitless. It's only so much that you and I and us can do. But when we turn to Jesus, whom has all power in his authority, that we know that we can get the job done. When you and I, when we're experiencing deep sorrows, even difficult circumstances, we might feel offended if someone suggests that something good can emerge from our adversities. A well-meaning person who tries to encourage you and I us to trust God's promises might be perceived as insensitive or even realistic. We know that that happened to the children of Israel when God was working for their deliverance from Egypt. As Pharaoh hardened his heart toward the Lord's command to let his people go, he increased the Hebrew slaves' workload by forcing them to gather the straw they needed to make bricks. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, Exodus 5 and 10 through 11. They became so discouraged they couldn't accept Moses' assurance that God had heard their cry and promised to take them to the land of their own. And seeing this life, you and I must understand that God hears our cry. God hears our prayer petition. He said, I heard you the first time. So you and I don't have to continue to keep going over the same prayer petition time after time, because God already knows. He said, I know what you are in need of before you even ask. And we know that there are times when our hearts and our tears and our fears can close our ears to the hopeful word of God. But when the Lord doesn't stop speaking to you and I, and us, when it's hard for us to hear, he continues working on our behalf, just as he did in delivering his people from Egypt. And as you and I, and us, we experience God's compassion and his loving care, we can begin to hear again, even as the hurt continues to heal. We know that God cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with mine and yours and our grief. When the days are weary, the nights are dreary, I know my Savior cares. Even when we don't sense God's presence, we know that God's love and care is all around us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. The Bible says, unto the upright, there arises light in the dark. Sometimes we can't even see our way in this life through trials and tribulation, heartaches, setbacks, and booby traps that the enemy has laid out for you and I and us. Hallelujah. Sometimes we don't know how we're going to pay our bills, how we're going to pay our mortgages and our rent, and yet all our money spent. But we serve a God, hallelujah, that has currency upon currency. I mean, his treasure mound is too numerous to even count. Hallelujah. He has all the diamonds, rubies, and sapphires, and you name it, God owns it. So all you and I have to do is just get down on our knees, or bow our heads, wherever you might be stooping or sitting or squatting or kneeling or lying, and you just ask God for what you want God to do in your life. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to be shy. You don't have to say, well, God, I asked you last week, and I don't want to come to you this week. But you can come to God every day. You can come to God. God will never get tired of you coming and asking him for his help, because that's what Jesus died for. He died for yours and mine and our sin, and that he died that you and I might have life, and that we might have life more abundantly. And we know sometimes that the night seems dark and it's very hard for you and I to see our way. Very difficult. And in a similar way, God lights our path. When we trust Jesus as our Savior, he who is the light of the world, he entered our lives and removed the darkness of our sin and despair. This light continued to cover us through the times of sorrow, in the midst of sadness, in trouble, and illness, or disappointment. The Lord brightens the way, and he encouraging his children by giving hope. And this may come through a word of exhortation from a fellow believer. Maybe the illumination of God's word by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. might be the calm reassurance and response to heartfelt prayer. It might be the miraculous supply of a specific need. Whatever the case, we know that God sent light when we are engulfed in darkness. Jesus give you and I and us light in the darkest night. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We will walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. God sometime put you and I and us in the dark to show us that Jesus is the light. Hallelujah. I want you to know that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is waiting on you to call on him because he is limitless. He is limitless. Hallelujah. In his wealth. Hallelujah. Jesus owns everything. He's got the whole world, as the song we used to sing his children. God got the whole world in his hand. He's got the little bitty baby in his hand. He's got you and me in his hand. So there's nothing too hard for God. No job complicated, too difficult that he cannot handle. God tell us, said, come to me, all you who are labeled and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That scripture reading is coming out aloud of Matthew 11:28. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we talk about the willingness to listen to bad news. We know that bad news has been blamed for everything from space shuttle disasters to carpet collapses to the spread of terrorism. We know that lengthy studies aren't needed to determine why this happened. Bad news reveal problems. Problems require solutions. Solutions cost time, money, and energy. We would rather spend celebrating past successes. Hallelujah. We know in the time of King Assassin of Peria. He refused to allow mourners to enter his gates in the law of Esther 4:1-12. We know that one commentator suggests that he preferred to surround himself with people who were awed by his wealth and were eager to attend his lavish parties. Excuse me. His reluctance to be bothered by bad news nearly resulted in the annihilation of the Jewish people. Excuse me again. I got a continual cough. So just excuse me if I cough in between time. I didn't bring me any fluid, so my throat is rather dry. But excuse me, please. And we know that Ahasuerus with Jesus, who said, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this king, he ruled his kingdom by allowing only happy people to enter his presence. Jesus built his kingdom by welcoming you and I. He welcomed the burden. Jesus welcomed the sorrowful in his presence. What's more, Jesus not only invites you and I to tell them our bad news, but he has the willingness and the power to turn our most troubling circumstances into a celebration of praise. Excuse me. We know that the gospel is bad news to those who reject it. But it's good news to those who receive it. We're talking about we are limited power, but God is limitless. So ask God for what you want. If you want a husband, go to God. You want a new wife, go to God. You want to be impregnated, go to God. Hallelujah. You want to go in business for yourself, go to God. You want a healing for that diagnosis of having a deadly disease, you're encouraged to go to God. God is the great physician. God is ready and willing to heal that body of yours. Make it whole again. God said, I'll come that you might have life, and you might have life more abundantly. So whatever you need, if you need a new automobile, I encourage you to go to God. You desire a new home, I encourage you to go to God. Hallelujah. Whatever your desires are, God can handle them. Mine, yours, and the whole universal at the same time. He is that good. Hallelujah. And we know that, excuse me again, it might be that the Lord will look on our affliction and that the Lord will repay you and I and us with good for his cursing. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law, 2 Samuel 16 and 12. And we know that unlike David in the second law of Samuel 16, excuse me, hallelujah. We like to take revenge. We like to silence our critics. We like to insist on fairness and set everything right. But on the other hand, David told those who wanted to defend him, let Shimei alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. It seemed to me that as the years go by, we grow as David did in the awareness of God's protective love. We become less concerned with what others say about us, more willing to give ourselves over to our Father. We learn humble submission to God's will. We may, of course, ask our opponents to justify their charges, and we may meet them with steadfast denial if they charge us falsely. But when we have done all we can do, the only thing left is to wait patiently until God vindicate you and I and us. In the meantime, it's good to look beyond the words of those who vilify us to the will of the one who loves us with infinite love. We need to say that whatever God permits is for his ultimate good in us or in others. Even though our heart breaks and we shed bitter tears, you're in God's hand. No matter what others say about you, he sees your distress. And in time, we will pay you with good. All you got to do, trust him and abide in his love. We know that each day we learn from yesterday of God's great love and his care, and every burden we must face, he'll surely help us bear. It takes the storm to prove the real shelter. And we're talking about, we are limited power. God is limitless. So all you got to do is just Bible tell us to make your request known. Hallelujah. Before God, that is. Go to God. Tell him what you desire him to do. We can't demand anything of God, but we can ask God in prayer, in sincerity. Hallelujah. And we can ask God for what we desire. And it's at God's own discretion if you want to yea, our prayer petition, or nay it. So God has the final say. But if we go to God in spirit and in truth and believe upon his word, God said he will give us the desires of our heart. God loves to bless us. God wants to see you, hallelujah, God wants to see you, flourish. God wants to see you have the best things in life. That's what God wants. God wants our very best. for us. And sometimes it might take a little time for, you know, us to get what we desire. It might take, you know, all of our, we have a harvest. Each and every one of us have a harvest time to reap, a blessing from God. And all of us can't come on the same time. We have different times, intervals that God has appointed to bless us. And so, you know, there's old saying that on my appointed time, I'm going to wait till my change comes. God give it and God bless it be the name of the Lord. So we know that God wants to bless us. God wants to see us joyful and prosperous and happy. Hallelujah. Because God became poor. Hallelujah. So that we could become rich. God was already rich. He is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. And so God is already filthy rich. But he became poor so you and I could become rich in God. And even rich in prosperity, because we know that in the Bible days there was rich prophets and rich kings and queens, and we have folks in this world in which we live right now that's rich. So we know that it began in heaven, and then God let it spread it abroad down here on earth. So God has given each and every one an opportunity. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that God is the one that have allowed man to obtain wealth is by God's doing. And not man doing alone, but it's God's doing. Hallelujah. So in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf. You're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This program has been produced by Block Talk Radio. This program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondence, make them attentive too. Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. You can also log on to our web address, www.janicewardministries.org. You can also catch us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and LinkedIn. And until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Buckle up with Jesus at your will, because he is people friendly. Hallelujah. And I wouldn't dare leave home without him. Carry him everywhere you go, because in the world in which we live, we need him. I can't go a day without him. I need God every single day, minute, hour, day of my life. Hallelujah. So, until we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next is our second phase of our program, and it is our Hymns of Zion. That's to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. So until we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now.
Power and glory. We'll be right back. I pray. I must understand who I am talking to. You are God and God alone. But yet and still I know, when I pray, I often find that I pray amiss. So I'm asked that your Spirit would make my request known.
I know you see what I can't see, and I know you're always there for me, in my past, present, future. I know that you look out for me. I know that things are tough right now, but I will trust you the best way I know how. I can hear clearly your Spirit is saying to me that you are sovereign.
And I trust you, Lord.
And I trust you.
There's no need to fear. Trust you, Lord.
Trouble on every side. I might be distressed and even perplexed, but I refuse to be in despair.
And I know you see what I can't see, and I know you're always there for me, in my past, present, and future. I know that you look out for me. I know that things look tough right now, but I will trust you the best way I know how. I can hear clearly the Spirit say,